Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia. This is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. It has been often asked by pastors and authors, if the Holy Spirit was removed from your church or your life, would you notice the difference? Wow, that's provocative. Sometimes I think we're a little afraid of the Holy Spirit, and we've certainly seen churches and heard people that seem so extreme and wild, and we're like, oh, that can't be right. When they teach about the Holy Spirit, that maybe we overreact and say, we don't need the Holy Spirit. Let's just let him do him and we'll do us and that'll be okay. But the Bible has a lot to say about the Holy Spirit. And we need to interact with that, and we need to apply what God reveals about himself in the Bible in our lives. So let's talk about the Holy Spirit today on Integrated. First, let me just say, the Holy Spirit is a he. He's not an it, right? He's not the force. He's not just this impersonal power of God. He's actually a he. He's a person. And he is a full member of the Trinity. There are verses about the deity of the Holy Spirit. As we read the New Testament, especially, it becomes clearer and clearer throughout the Bible as he reveals himself to us, how the Trinity fits together. And obviously, there's mystery there. But we just want to start by affirming that the Holy Spirit is truly God, every bit God as God the Father and God the Son. He's not lesser. He's not God Junior. He is right there with them and all together as one God manifested in three persons. One reason we know this is true is the baptism formula that Jesus gives us in the Great Commission. Matthew 28. As he says to baptize them, right? You're making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine how blasphemous and horrendous that would be to have a single formula under a single name, you know, in the name of, and then equate God with some lesser being? The Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus is a God, or, you know, the Son of God, little s, right? He's really the Archangel Michael of the Old Testament that has manifested as Jesus here in the New Testament. And the Holy Spirit, they would say, is just God's power, just generic, nothing, not a person, not God, and no Trinity, right? So our Jehovah's Witness friends, we need to keep sharing the gospel with and pray that God would open their eyes and heart to see, oh no, you need the whole Trinity if you're really going to be in a right relationship with Almighty God. But how blasphemous would that be to say, baptizing them in the name of the Father and some archangel and a generic power? That'll be good enough for a baptism. No, it's not good enough for a baptism because all three are co-equal and co-eternal. Another story that reveals this truth to us is that story in Acts chapter 5 of Ananias and Sapphira. You remember they were holding back on the apostles saying, oh, we sold our property for this amount, but we're giving that amount and it's the same thing. And of course, they didn't have to give. It was a free offering, but lying to the apostles about it to try to look good was not good at all. And God punished them
In fact, God took their very lives for that lie. But I want to draw your attention to Acts chapter 5, verse 3. Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land?" Verse 4, "While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." And of course, we just want to point out, who is he lying to? Well, verse 3 said, "You're lying to the Holy Spirit." Verse 4 said, "You are lying to God." That's one of the verses. There are other verses we could go to as well to show that the Bible reveals the Holy Spirit is God. So another thing we want to consider is the Holy Spirit's not an it. He's a he. The Bible uses personal pronouns as it speaks about the Holy Spirit. And the Bible is very consistent about that. It doesn't say, well, sometimes it's an it and sometimes it's a he. No, he's a he. He's a person. What does it mean to be a person? Well, some people would say, you know, mind, will, and emotions is a good description of a person. Well, does the Bible speak about the Holy Spirit like that, revealing mind, will, and emotions? Let me take you to a couple of scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. "These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God." The Spirit's not an impersonal force. He's searching. He's working. He's revealing things to us. Keep going. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11. "For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." So the Spirit is thinking. The Spirit is comprehending the very thoughts of God because the Spirit is God. Verse 13. "And we..." Let me go back to verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual." So what we see here is the Holy Spirit is thinking, comprehending, revealing, teaching. These are things a person does, not an it. That's really important. And I just take us to one more verse along this way, because we can just pause and have a good application at this very moment in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, where he says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Now that's right after a verse, a very convicting verse in Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." The very next verse, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." What does that mean? I think those things go together. If you run your mouth and you're tearing God's people down, that doesn't just affect them. It affects the heart of God, specifically the Holy Spirit. Specifically, he's grieved when we do this. Does God have an opinion about your mouth? Does God have an opinion about whether you build up your brother or sister or tear them down? Absolutely, yes. The Holy Spirit has a very distinct opinion. He cares a lot, and you can grieve him. I would say, again, this is the way God reveals himself in Scripture. We can please the Lord. The Lord has chosen to be pleased by the obedient efforts of his children, and the Holy Spirit
can also be grieved by our disobedience and an uncaring lack of concern for our brothers and sisters. Let me ask another. Is it okay to pray to the Holy Spirit? Can we pray to the Holy Spirit? Sometimes you read some of those Puritan prayers and they pray to the Father and then they pray a stanza of their prayer to the Son and then they pray a stanza to the Spirit and they go, well, that's a little different. I mean, some people, again, in some of the more extreme churches, we see all their prayers only to the Holy Spirit. You go, that doesn't seem to match up with the Bible. Let me just say this. The Bible's pattern is that we pray to God the Father, right? Jesus teaches us to pray, the disciples said. He starts by saying, our Father. He doesn't say, hey, you just were praying. You were talking to me and I'm God, right? No, he says, here's how you pray. Pray to the Father in the name of the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. But because they're all God, all three members of the Trinity, there are examples of praying to Jesus. Even so, come Lord Jesus. That's a prayer. And I think we can pray to the Holy Spirit as well. But the pattern and the main prayers seem to be directed to the Father in the name of the Son by the power of the Spirit. Okay, we're going to take a break. And after we come back, we're going to talk very practically about the role of the Spirit in our lives, specifically killing sin.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. John Crotts in just a moment as he dives into these foundational truths about the Holy Spirit. And hey, I want to tell you about a resource we have available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. It's Drive by Pneumatology. Now, don't let that term scare you. Pneumatology, just the study of the Holy Spirit. And this resource breaks it down in a way that makes these vital truths very accessible. And when Dr. Crotts talks about the Spirit not being an it, but a divine person, this resource is going to help you understand why that matters for your daily walk. Drive by Pneumatology. It's available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And think about what we've been hearing, that if the Holy Spirit was removed from our lives, we'd notice the difference. This isn't just theological head knowledge that we're after here, folks. And that's what I love about Fortis Institute. That's what I love about Integrated with Dr. John Crotts. And let me mention something else that can help you grow in these truths. That's the Fortis Plus app. Every day, we're adding 7 new pieces of content that help you understand and apply God's Word. If you haven't downloaded it just yet, you can get there by visiting fortisplus.org. And you know, there's a reason why we tackle subjects like the Holy Spirit. We're living in a culture that keeps pushing us toward powerless Christianity, one that's all about feelings or just going through religious motions, but we refuse at Fortis Institute to stay silent. That's why we brought together some of the most trusted voices who aren't afraid to teach the whole counsel of God, even the parts that challenge our modern assumptions. And let me be direct with you for a moment. What we're doing here at Fortis Institute, it's not just about producing content. It's about equipping believers to understand and live out the full depth of God's truth. And if you would like to join this mission along with us, you'll be helping us create more resources, resources that go beyond surface level Christianity. You would be helping us bring solid biblical teaching to people who are hungry for the truth. And here's what really excites me. We're seeing lives changed through all of this teaching. People are discovering that theology is not dry or academic, but actually transformative. And if you're tracking with what you're hearing, if you find yourself wanting more of this biblical teaching, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? All of the details are available right now at fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. John Crotts. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Crotts.
Welcome back. We have been talking about the Holy Spirit and His ministry in our lives. Specifically, we've been looking at the Holy Spirit, discovering He's not a force. He's not the power of God, although very powerful, completely omnipotent, all-powerful, can do all of His holy will as God. He's not an it, He's a He, and He is a person, a full member of the Trinity. We have talked about praying to the Holy Spirit. It's okay, you can do that, but that's not the main pattern we see in the New Testament. But I think it's okay And I want to talk now, though, about very practically, because we wanted to know, if you took the Holy Spirit away from us, would that make a difference? Answer, absolutely, yes, it would. And the more conscientious we are about that, the closer our walk with God is, and the more we will experience the Holy Spirit's power and His ministry in our lives as we seek to honor God, submitting to God through the Holy Spirit's power. The verse I want to take us to is a battleground verse in Romans chapter 8. Good one to memorize. You need a verse to memorize? This is a good one. Romans 8:13. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now, there's so much in this verse to unpack when we think about our fight with sin, but just a couple of observations. If you live according to the flesh, he's just talked about those who are living according to the flesh. And he says, if that is your lifestyle, you will die. Ultimately, that verse even kind of looks back to the definition of death you see in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not just physical death, but eternal separation from God. If you are not marked by fighting sin, if you're just going with the flow of your sin, are you even a Christian, right? That's a fair question. We're not saved by our works, but when we're saved, we work. We go to work because we have a new desire. Our bondage to sin has been destroyed. We're not a slave to sin any longer. The Holy Spirit has moved in. He's given us new desires and new passions and abilities to fight our sin. And that is what Paul is calling us to in Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your body, you will live. Now, I want to just go back to our initial question. If you took the Holy Spirit away, would there be any difference? Well, the answer is absolutely yes, because if you take away the Holy Spirit from Romans 8:13, it would be you putting to death the deeds of your body by your own power. And that will not lead to life because we cannot fight our sins on our own. We need the Holy Spirit's help in every way. And so this is a great verse for us to consider. The Holy Spirit is not an idle pool of power that we just dip into in times of temptation. He is a divine person who is with us and in us. He is the one exercising motivation and power toward every activity of righteousness and holiness that we do. I remember when I became a Christian, one of the reasons I think I became a Christian when I was 16 and not when I was, 8 years old and walked the aisle at that revival meeting was because I started to see the fruit of the Holy Spirit working in my life. I started to love people that I didn't even like. It's like, where did this come from? Oh, the Holy Spirit moved in. He's changing you from the inside out. In Philippians chapter 2, we see these wonderful, these are great verses, very strategic to understand the relationship between our efforts and the efforts of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yes, you are saved, but you are being saved and you need to work that out. Work out the implications in your life. You're still a work in progress, but keep it up. But the next verse, so helpful. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So is there ever going to be a time that you say, yeah, I grow. I'm the most spiritual guy in town because I'm so great and I'm so holy. No, you're going to say, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving me this desire to do what's right and to honor God, and this power to do what's right and to honor God. I fight my sins. I feel like I lose. I feel like I'm climbing up the hill. But you are with me and you are helping me and you care more about my holiness than I do. And you're helping me to care more and to strive more. So when we go back to Romans 8, our battleground verse, what do we see? What's our responsibility? Well, we need to see that fighting sin is mandatory, not optional. Fighting sin is active, not passive. You've got to do it. It's not just going to happen by itself. We see fighting sin is ruthless, not casual. I mean, what is the language here? But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You remember the old Puritans, they would sometimes call it mortification of sin. What is mortification? You're killing your sin, right? There's the great power quote by John Owen, be killing sin or it will be killing you. Oh, yeah. We don't coddle our sin. As a friend of mine says, we don't make it a little pet and keep it over here and bring it out and pet it and play with it a little bit and put it away. No. Sin is a monster and we give it no ground. We put it to death. We're active. We're ruthless. It's a lifelong war. It's not an event. It's not a single battle. Don't you wish you could pray a magic prayer and it would all go away? Oh, if I only had the right formula, all my sin problems would be dealt with. No, these are present tense verbs. This is the fight of our lives that will be to the death and it will be all the way to our deaths or until our Lord comes back for us. It's a comprehensive battle. It's big sins, little sins, outward sins, inward sins. And it requires the Holy Spirit, not mere willpower. We don't just want to make more rules in our lives. So, all right, the Holy Spirit, he's with us. He's a he. He's a person. He cares. He thinks the thoughts of God. He teaches us. He helps us. We can please him. We can grieve him, as we saw in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. So what's involved with fighting our sin by the power of the Holy Spirit? Let me give you some suggestions. Actively aim your minds at the things of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to have the Holy Spirit's help in your sin as you're fighting your sin. For example, if you were fighting against pornography and you just linger on pornographic websites, that you're going to be in much better shape to have the Holy Spirit helping you as you're filling your mind with the things of the Holy Spirit. How about his inspired book, the Bible? Set your minds on the things that are above, Colossians 3 says, not on the things of this world. Aiming your minds at the things of the Holy Spirit is a way to enlist the help of the Holy Spirit in our fight with sin. Another suggestion, be trusting that the Holy Spirit will help you to obey. So there's a sense in which fighting our sin by the power of the Holy Spirit is a little bit of an attitude of optimism that the Holy Spirit is working. It's kind of like faith in God's promises. God says, all right, witness to that guy. I'm going to be with you, right? In the Great Commission, Jesus says, I'm with you. As you're making disciples, I'm with you. He's with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, do you see the Holy Spirit with you? Do you feel the Holy Spirit with you? That might be a bad burrito. How do you know that's the Holy Spirit? You take it by faith. He said he's with me. He's going to be with me. I'm going to witness. And well, look at that. He was with me. The same is true in your fight with sin. He is with you. He's helping you. Believe it and fight with that kind of attitude, an attitude of faith, an attitude of hope, confidence, because the Holy Spirit is in me and working, and the Holy Spirit wants me to have victory over this sin.
And finally, call upon the Spirit for fresh strength, fresh desire, fresh ability to obey. Yes, that's praying to the Spirit. That's okay. Call upon Him. Help me, Holy Spirit. You're with me. You're going to help. I believe. Now, let's make it happen. My friend, don't just be hearers of these things. Let's do it. Let's put it into practice. Let's integrate the truth about the Holy Spirit into our lives for the glory of God.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Krotz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Krotz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.